Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. Knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important thing in our lives, and we aim to share the true gospel with everyone. Listen with us today as Pastor Scott preaches to his congregation and invites you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can also visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org, that's O-R-G, for more information about our local church. God is good, and Jesus saves all who surrender their lives to him. Amen.
I want to read just a little bit of a recap of where we were, because it's been a few weeks, just to let us understand where we are in our relationship with this passage of Scripture. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your word tonight. We praise you for your grace towards us. We praise you, Lord God, for your sustaining power to carry out the work that you desire for us to do, to be in us and through us, whatever you desire for us to be at the time that we're in place that we are. We thank you for that. We ask you for your blessing on this time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Colossians 2, 4 through 15, we talked about our relationship with Christ, and we were alive in him. And Paul exhorted us in these verses to walk in Christ and to live as though we were set apart in Christ. These verses are important and imperative to us to understand that there's a distinction between us as believers in Jesus and those who are unsaved and living in the world. We are to be rooted, built up, and established in Jesus and filled by his Spirit in us with thankfulness in our hearts. Being separated from the world way of thinking does not mean to go and live as a recluse or a hermit, but to be aware of our surroundings and recognize the thinking that we're exposed to is contrary to what the Bible teaches us. We have positionally been set apart in Christ. Our lives are supposed to reflect that difference, that we are different because we chose to live as different people. No one can recognize Jesus in us and our commitment to him if we look the same as the unsaved person. We are different because Jesus paid the penalty for our sin and forgave us completely, past, present, and future, by nailing the certificate of debt to the cross. Jesus desires for us to live and forgive as forgiven and empowered by the Spirit people, different from the world in which we live. And that's an exhortation, and it's a little bit difficult for us to grasp sometimes because it's easy for us to get caught up in what the world does. So it's important for us to recognize that we are absolutely distinct people on this planet. And we have a purpose, and that purpose is to be able to reach the community in which we live for Christ, and see that community come individually, one by one, to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. This passage that we're in tonight, chapter 2, verses 16 through 23, it wraps up the chapter, but it's important for us to recognize that the world continually is in opposition to us, continually has an agenda that it wants us to follow. And if we submit ourselves to that agenda, we will fail. We will not be effective in the world in which we live. So we want to focus on Christ, and that's really the most important thing that we can do in our personal life. I'm going to read this passage. Therefore, because our sins are nailed to the cross of Christ, and he has disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly, he triumphed over them by him, Christ himself. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food or drink or the matter of a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is the Messiah. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on ascetic practices and worshiping of angels, claiming access to a visionary realm and inflated without cause by our unspiritual mind. He doesn't hold on to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and tendons, develop with the growth from God. If you died with the Messiah to the elemental forces of this world, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to regulations? Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. All these regulations refer to what was destroyed by being used up. They are commands and doctrines of men. Although these have been had a reputation for wisdom by promoting ascetic practices, humility, and severe treatment of the body, they are not of any value in curbing self-indulgence. We are to focus on Jesus Christ. And Paul has told us in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Philippians, in the book of Colossians, that we need to have Christ at the center of our life. And yet we oftentimes find that difficult to maintain because of what the world has to offer and what the world throws at us and tells us what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. But we are free in Christ, absolutely free in Him. We are not to follow after the law. Now, I don't mean that we're supposed to break the law, but when Paul refers to the law in his writings in Romans through the rest of his epistles, he's talking about the sacrificial law, not the Ten Commandment law, not the moral code. He's talking about the sacrificial code of continuing the sacrificial system. We are free in Christ because Jesus has nailed our sin to the cross. We're no longer responsible to follow the law. He fulfilled the law, and He made the law complete when He went to the cross on our behalf. The important part for this is that we understand that that's where we are at. Oftentimes what happens is we think that there are all these different regulations and circumstances that we have to follow because other people put these in front of us to say this is what we need to do. And this is not actually a new thing. There are historical records that people wore camel hair coats and turned inside out so that their body would be tormented by the stiffness of the camel hair, and that would somehow make them more spiritual. People who actually slept on beds of nails because that punished their body to make them more spiritual. Ascetic practices that required them to live a certain lifestyle so that they were more spiritual, having their mind influenced by doctrines of men, not doctrines of God. Things that people were supposed to do because it made them more spiritual. Dress a certain way, do a certain thing. You know, I'm familiar with a religious sect in North Idaho. You could have the most wonderful, powerful, decked out pickup or Suburban, as long as it never had a radio in it, because the radio was an influence of the world. But the truck was good. You see what ascetic practices sound like? They don't sound like the tunes of the radio, right? No, it's craziness. But here's what Paul has to say in Galatians 2:20. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. If the righteousness had come through the law, then Christ had died for nothing. We are not required to keep the law. If we try to keep the law as though it's required for us to have a spiritual relationship with Him, then Jesus' death on the cross was for nothing, ineffective. He tells us again in this passage of Scripture, for the matter of festivals or new moons or Sabbath days. And again, in Galatians 4, Paul tells us this, but now since you know God, or rather have become known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and bankrupt elemental forces? Do you want to be enslaved by them again? You observe special days, months, seasons, and years. All of these things were part of the Old Testament law. And to go back and try to follow all of those practices that Jesus fulfilled by His paying the penalty for our sin, they are no longer required. So why go back and do the things that we thought were important to us to do when in fact they were already wiped out, taken care of? And this passage is a difficult passage to understand, but at the same time, it's very important for us to recognize these are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is the Messiah. The substance is the Messiah. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Jesus is the substance. The dangers of legalism, fleshly practices, things that what we think we're supposed to do, ascetic practices, worship of angels, claiming visionary realm, inflated without cause by his unspiritual mind. You know, no matter what we do in the flesh to look spiritual, to look like we're doing something really effective and good, to look like we're somehow distinct from the rest of the world around us, is not effective if, in fact, Jesus is not central in our life. Jesus has to be central in our life. Philippians chapter 3 tells us very clearly, Paul makes the point, I focus on my relationship with Christ. I pursue my relationship with Christ. I want to live in the power of his resurrection in my life. I want to be an impactful person for the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life. And I want my life to reflect my relationship with Christ. Paul makes that emphasis many times through Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, all the way through the books of Timothy and Thessalonians. He tells us constantly that we have to be focused on Jesus Christ in our life. And we find ourselves getting caught up in all the things that really don't matter, all the things that don't really help us change who we are. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us who changes lives. It's Christ in us who brings us to the point of being mature and solid in our relationship with him. The most important thing is to recognize Jesus as central in your life, and to allow him to guide and direct our life. Now, we see it in Galatians, we see it in other portions of Scripture. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. It's the same thing that he's talking about in our focus on the person of Jesus Christ as being central in our life. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. He promised us the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John. He said that, I will send you another Comforter, and he will teach you and guide you into all truth. In the same passage, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So we can't take that verse out of that context and say that he's going to lead us into all truth concerning truth in general. No, he's going to lead us into all truth concerning truth in Christ, truth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and guide us into a deeper, more meaningful, more incredibly powerful relationship with him, because we will experience the power of his resurrection in our life to empower us to live and to do and to be the person he wants us to be. Holy Spirit is the person that Christ used, that God used, to empower our lives, to emphasize spirituality in our life, to teach us and to train us through the Word of God, but always to draw us closer and deeper into that relationship with Christ that we must have. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Trinity is that they're all together the same, all together share the same heart, share the same passion, share the same desire, share the same knowledge, and they desire for us to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's the one who saved us. He's the one who died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sin. And it's important for us to recognize that each person of the Trinity has a place and a responsibility in our lives. They're all three involved in the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus is the one who actually paid the price. And our sins are nailed to the cross of Christ and forgiven that way only, through our understanding of who Jesus is and what he did for us and our faith in him as the person who actually paid the penalty for our sin. Scripture tells us many times that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. It was on the cross of Christ that that shedding of blood took place. So as we move on, we see that we can get so sidetracked by the world's desire and the false teaching that happens in the world to be focused on how we dress and how we act, how we do or don't wear jewelry, how we operate in a realm of influence by within a group of people who want to look distinct and different. But the truth is that apart from being focused on Jesus Christ as Lord, we are only putting on a show to look different, to be different, and to somehow emphasize a different lifestyle, but not to be really changed in our actions, our attitudes, or the way in which we respond to the culture in which we live. Jesus died as the Messiah, and we died with him when we put our faith in him as Lord and Savior. And if we died with the Messiah to the elemental forces of this world, why do you live as though you still belong to the world? I know it's hard for us to recognize that even though we're in the world, we are not part of the world. Even though we live here, and we walk amongst people who are not believers in Christ, and we interact with those people who are not believers in Christ, that we serve a different king. We serve a different kingdom. We are part of a different kingdom. And we cannot allow ourselves to be influenced by the world's culture, because the world's culture is going to fade away. It will go away completely. So why do you submit to regulations? Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. All these regulations refer to what is destroyed and being used up. They are commands and doctrines of men. This word of God, the scriptures that we have, it's God's word. And if you literally put your life under the submission to what God's word says and teaches us, then in Christ, we can be successful and we can be emissaries of him. We can be ambassadors of Christ. We can be those who reach out to the world in which we live and show them the truth of what the Word of God says. If our life demonstrates that we believe what the Word of God says and we live according to what the Word of God says, so that we demonstrate that we are in fact different from the world, we are people who want to serve Christ, who want to be representatives of his, because the world offers us a lot of different religious options. And all of those religious options are not necessarily those that glorify God in Christ. There are doctrinal differences in the body of Christ. I understand that. There are a lot of different belief systems within the body of Christ, but there are foundational truths of the Word of God that impact every true believer in Jesus Christ. And the fact that there are all these different groups who claim to be religious and who claim to be seeking after God, there's only one relationship with God that makes any difference at all. There's only one relationship with God that actually brings people to a place of having a salvation relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but also be called children of God, adopted children of God. And that is Christianity. That is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the one who died and paid the penalty for our sins. We can't do anything in and of ourselves to earn a place in heaven. We can't be the best preacher, the best teacher, the best of anything, apart from having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And everything that we think, say, and do is a response to that relationship that we have with him. Otherwise, we find ourselves sitting under the doctrines of men and trying to fulfill what they want us to do, rather than what the Word of God actually tells us to do. I love this passage of Scripture. If Christ has set you free, you are free indeed. Memorize that verse. If Christ has set you are free indeed. Don't submit yourself again to a yoke of slavery, to the law, That's what Paul was talking about in the whole book of Galatians. We are free indeed. And as Christians, we should live as free people under a relationship with Christ as Lord and Savior. Paul told us in Philippians chapter 3, my goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Know Him, Christ, and the power of His resurrection in my life. And if we live that way, if we actually submit ourselves to that desire, that we actually live for Him, and we don't follow after the reputation of wisdom and promoting ascetic practices and humility and severe treatment of the body, because, as this scripture tells us, they are not of any value in curbing self-indulgence. In other words, all the things that we do that we consider to be religious, all the things that we do to ourselves to promote that we are religious, have no impact on our sinful nature to continue to promote ourselves. Indulging ourselves in self-indulgence for the purpose of looking good rather than glorifying God in our lives, rather than glorifying Him to enable people to understand that there is, in fact, truth outside of ourselves. There is an opportunity for us to show people, not to be the show, but to show people by the way we live our life and the way that we speak, that there is a hope outside of ourselves. There is a hope in our future. It's amazing to me that so many people don't understand or haven't heard the truth. Yesterday morning, I was at Band of Brothers with a group of men, seven other men, and there's a new guy that was at that group. And as we talked as believers, this new guy was really quiet, didn't have a lot to say. But he was taking it all in. And when he was asked the question of, well, what's going on in your life? He demonstrated the fact that he was trying in and of himself to be a successful individual, to live according to what he thought was appropriate. And after a few minutes, maybe 10 minutes or so, I looked at him and I asked him the simple question. I said, well, at what point did you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life? I already knew the answer, but I wanted him to answer the question. At what point did you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life? And he said, I've never done that. He had never cracked a Bible. He had never read a word out of Scripture. He never understood anything about what we were talking about in our relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, I've never done that. So I shared the gospel with him, and other people at the table interjected in that conversation as well. I can't tell you that he accepted Christ yesterday morning, but at the end of the conversation, which was probably another 20 minutes or so, I said, so are you ready to make a decision? And he gave an honest answer. He said, no, but I'll be back next week. So we share the truth. We're responsible to share the truth. We're responsible to let people know that there is a hope, there is a future, and understand that the Holy Spirit draws people to Christ. And it's up to Him, the Holy Spirit, to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. But it's up to us to share the truth. If we don't share the truth, then we are in part guilty of keeping our faith to ourselves, rather than impacting the life of another individual. Take the opportunity that God gives and share the truth, because we are supposed to be those who focus our lives on Jesus Christ. And we want other people to know and understand the truth concerning who Christ is and what He has done for us. I don't know if this gentleman's going to ask Christ into his life. That's not my responsibility, but it was my responsibility to share the truth. And at that point, it's his responsibility to accept the truth. Because I know when I see a person walking into Band of Brothers who doesn't know Christ, I come to the conclusion that he's only there for one reason, because the Holy Spirit drew him there, because the Lord drew him there to hear the truth, to understand the truth. It's our responsibility to share the truth. It's God's responsibility to do the saving. But don't let our shyness or our unwillingness to sound stupid or look like we're rubbing people wrong in our conversation about Christ, because it may be the most important thing he's ever heard. And we have to make the choice to share that word. I don't feel bad about looking stupid sometimes or acting like I'm not completely with it, because Christ is all important and he needs to be shared with people. We're given the responsibility to do that. And that's what God wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. So we are not of the world. We are not of the world. Don't try to live as though we are part of the world. Live separate, live strong, and allow Jesus to do in us and through us what only he can do. And it will be the best decision we can make. Pursue him. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection. And apart from that, there's no actual purpose for us to exist. We already know him. We're already guaranteed a place in heaven because of him. And he wants us to bring other people with us.
As we reflect on Colossians 2:16 to 23, let's remember that our faith is not defined by external rituals or human regulations, but by our relationship with Christ. He has set us free from the shadows of legalism and called us into the fullness of life in him. So let's walk in that freedom, holding fast to the truth that in Christ we lack nothing. May we live each day rooted in his grace, unshaken by the world's empty demands, and confident in the victory he has already won for us. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio and, Lord willing, at TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations to ensure more have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection. Amen.